Okay, everybody, so I hope all is good. Today's daf is Gittin daf Mem Ches, and we have the tremendous chutz to finish the fourth parak and move on to the fifth. But we are here on Mem Zayin Amabez. If you remember, we started off this machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing, right? If you remember, it's basically smack in the middle of the daf. If a person sells their field for the peros, if a person sells their field for the produce of that field, is that considered as if they have an actual kinyan in the actual field itself, or is it obviously just a kinyan in the peros? And what's the nafkamina that we've been discussing? The question is whether they would bring bikurim, because the pasuk says, right, that when you the mikra bikurim, part of the mikra bikurim is you would say v'samachta v'cholatov shunasam l'cha Hashem l'kecha l'cha l'beisecha. Where's the pasuk over there? No, that's the wrong pasuk. I can't find the pasuk in there. Again, I can't find the pasuk. All right, basically the pasuk says that it has to be your field. So the shaila is, right, if you have a kinyan in the field, so the question is, if you have a kinyan in the peros, excuse me, do you actually own the field to the point where you can say, this is my field that Akash Baruch Hu gave me, and I have produce from, and I have Hakar Zato for that. So we're over here again. We had Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, just to read it off, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, a person's mevi v'kori, a person does bring, say the kriya, does do the mikra bikurim, and the Shlagish says he doesn't, right? As the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan says that kinyan peros is the kinyan aguf, and Rabbi Shlagish says that it is not. So now we're here about, let's say, like 7 or 8 lines up, Esve. We had some kashas back and forth yesterday, right? And we have some more today. Says Reish Lakish, right? Really, the kasha is Rabbi Yochanan. Hayah baba derech, right? A person is traveling with your bikurim. Ubikuri ishto biyodo, and he has the bikurim of a person's wife. Now, as we said before, mentioned yesterday, right, the husband has a kinyan in the wife's property that she brings to the marriage, but that that's called nichse malug, that he is allowed to use the field's produce, right? If she brings in an orchard of apple trees to the marriage, so he's allowed to use the apples, right, and do business with it and whatever he wants. So that is literally our case, right? He has an ability to use the fruit, but he doesn't own the actual land. Do we say that since he can use the fruit, that's as if it's a kinyan aguf, that's he has an actual kinyan in the land itself? So let's see what the Braisa says. Well, the Braisa says, right, if a person's coming with his wife's bikurim, right, it's not as straightforward as you might think. A person's coming with his wife's bikurim, or really his bikurim, from his wife's field. Rachmal Atzlani finds out that his wife died, and then obviously he's Yoresh, he inherits, right, his wife's property. So the Braisa says, maybe Vakore, that he brings it, and he does the Mikra Bikurim, obviously, because now he owns the entire field, and the Gemara and Reish Lakish darshens out, Mesa in Lo Mesa Lo. That's only if she died. But if she didn't, right, and she still owned the field, right, he would not do the Kriya. So apparently we see that a person that owns the fruit, owns the peros, owns the produce from a field, he does not necessarily on the field itself. So Gemara says, "Nah, who didn't die for Gav? The law made so no. You could really learn that even if she didn't die, he could also, right, do the kriya. And you need to teach me that if she died, right, that he should do the kriya. That because you might have thought to say Ligzur Mishum Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. You might have to make a gzera because Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina's din. What is that? Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Bar Chanina. Bitzaron Vishigron Biad Shliach. If you harvested your field, then you sent it to your shalayim with a shliach, who may shliach baderech, and the shliach died. Right, and then, so the owner of the field comes and takes, you know, the bikurim, or again, he sent bikurim with his shliach, right, you're too busy, you send it with somebody, unfortunately, the guy doesn't make it, literally, right, so you go and you pick up your produce, and you go to the Beis HaMikdash, maybe ve'enu kore, you don't say mikra bikurim, even though it's your produce, and even though it's your, your field, and your stuff, and your shliach, you still do not do the kriya, you don't do the mikra bikurim. Shnamak's the pasuk says v'lakachta ve'evesa. It doesn't say that back to back, but they're close to each other, right? That you bring the bikurim and or take the bikurim and bring the bikurim. And ad hashta lekicha v'hava be'echad. You need to, again, it says Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, right? The taking and the bringing of the bikurim has to be the same, right? It has to be by a single person. If it's not, it's taken by different people. So then it's not. Maybe those have to be done on the same kind of like trip. So you might have thought that so too over here, right? Because the husband took the produce, right? He became a different type of owner in the produce on the way. So you might have thought that case is comparable. Therefore, Kamash Malan, right, would teach me that we're not gozer, and the husband would do the mikra bikurim regardless. Okay. And Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, right? One of my favorite phrases in all of Gemara, they agree with themselves. Right? They go according to their own logic. The Imar, as it says, Hamocher Sadeu, right, Bizman Shayovel Noheg. If a person sells his field when there is Yovel, and again, we mentioned at the end of yesterday's year, a person, back in the day when there was Yovel, right, the halacha is that a person's steachuza, a person's ancestral land, goes back to the original owner at Yovel. So a person buys it and buys a field in like the year 30 of Yovel. So year 50, right, that's going to revert to the original owner. So basically what's going on over here is that the guy is basically leasing the field and he's basically buying the produce of that field for 20 years. Right? Again, he doesn't really own the field. Maybe he does, okay, whatever, but it's going to go back to the original owner. So that's what we're talking about over here. That's literally our case. Right? As much as Yovel Noeg, when you have Yovel, so Biochanan, or maybe Korish, Lagashar, maybe Veino Korish, right? We have the same machlokas. As we had before, Rabbi Yochanan, or maybe Vekore, Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Guftami, right? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you own the fruit, you own the actual field. Rish Lagish Amar, no, maybe Veino Kore, Kinyan Peres, Lav, Kinyan Guftami, and Rish Lagish holds, as he does in the other case, that it's not true, right? That if you own the fruit, you don't necessarily own the field, and you wouldn't therefore do the Mikir Bikurim. And the Gemara says, one second, isn't that the exact same case? Not necessarily. It's Richa, we need both cases. Again, just to clarify, the other case was similar, right? Very similar. We just didn't mention Yovel. Just a scenario where the guy sold, right, his produce. Right? Again, what was the exact lashon over there? Itmar, Hamocher Sadeo Leperos. Right, he sells his field for the produce, for use in the produce. And here, the guy sold his field, but lechore it's Yovel, so that's basically the same thing. So why do we need both statements? Both machlokes, and the exact same thing. Tzricha di yomer by di itmer ba'hi. If you would have had the first case that we had, so that you might have thought ba'hi kamar Rabbi Ishlag Ishtachi kanachis adaiti the perikanachis. Because when the guy buys the land, he's only buying, right, the fruit. I mean, again, the whole transaction was structured. I'm selling my field for the fruit, for the produce. So the guy is thinking when he buys it, okay, fine. So that's apparently I'm just buying the fruit and not the field. I mean, therefore, Rish Lakish says that he doesn't actually own the thing. But over here, what's going on? He buys it in year 30. He thinks he's getting 20 years of this field. And then the Gufik Anachis, he's trying to buy the actual field. Same modular Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe you might have thought that Rish Lakish agreed with Rabbi Yochanan and that, yeah, okay, technically, legally, he's only getting to use the produce for 20 years, but he thinks he's a full Kenyan. He fully owns. If you'd ask him, he thinks he fully owns this field. So you might have thought that would count and he should say, do the Mikra Bikurim. And if you would have had only the second case, right, by the Yovel case, you might have thought that that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. He does the Kriya, because again, the guy's buying a proper field. But the case previously where the guy said, I'm buying the field for the produce, maybe in Modele Rish Lakish, you might have thought he agrees with Rish Lakish, right, that he's only owning the fruits. Therefore, it's really telling me that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees in that case as well. Tashma, let's bring a couple of proofs for, right, either way. Tashma, Kona, Ilan, Vikarko, Mevi, Vikori. If I buys trees, right, and the land as well, meaning the trees and the land around it, so you do the Bikri Bikurit. Okay, apparently, even though that's going to go back to its owner by Yovel, right, you see that you apparently do the Kriya. So the Gemara says, isn't that seems to prove like Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, Abraham, how come I skin this much Yovel, no egg? Yeah, okay, fine. That's only in a case. Well, that brisa doesn't tell me anything because it's in a case where there is no Yovel, and maybe the guy is actually buying the full land because it's not going to go back to the original owner. Tashma, bring another proof, all right, from another Mishnah. All right, Kona Shnei Ilanos, Betzok Sadeir Shel Chavero, maybe Veino Kore. Right, if you buy two trees in somebody else's field, so you bring the Bikurim, right, but you don't do the Kriya because it's not considered as if you own the actual field itself. Hashlosha maybe a Kore, but if you have three, then you do. So apparently you see that if you own the fruit, right, you own the land. This Gemara says, no, like, no, you could say that that's also in a case where there is no Yovel. The Asher Damar Rav Chista V'Chogis B'Yovel Sheni V'Yovel Rishon Dibe Kol Mevi Kore. One second. Rav Chista says that the Machlokes Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish is only by the second Yovel. But by the first Yovel, everybody agrees that you would bring the Bikurim and do the Mikir Bikurim, because the people who sold the fields weren't sure they were going to get their field back. So in that case, once we say that, so Lakasha Kambi Habayovarishan Habayovasheni, right? So you can answer the stiras, right, depending on which Yovel it is, right, whether the owners thought that they're going to get their stuff back or not. What is Yovel Rishan Yovel Sheni? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that the first Yovel is the first Yovel ever, that people weren't convinced that they were actually going to get their fields back. But once they had one Yovel under their belt, so then, you know, that then they basically, you know, by the second Yovel, right, they were familiar with this, and that they realized that they were getting their fields back, so nobody actually thought they were actually buying the field. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the other Rishonim don't like that so much. And they say that it's really, they say that, that it's talking about the same person. It's not talking about Am Yisrael. Because, Tachlis, we had a Yovel already. Usually the Gemara uses the phrase, Mai Dehava Hava. Right? What was. Like, who cares? The first Yovel, the second Yovel, like, that's hundreds and thousands of years ago. Like, what's the difference? Why would the Gemara teach us that? So I think let's just call it the Meiri, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But the other Rishonim say that, no, it's talking about a person. I mean, the first time a person sells his field before Yovel, he's not sure necessarily that he's going to get it back. But by the second time, he knows already, and then, you know, his mindset is different. It is interesting because, you know, those are 50 years apart. So Lechora, when he sold the field the first time, he was probably, I don't know, a teenager. And the second time, he was, you know, 60, 70s, I guess that speaks to the mindset of those people selling those things. Anyway, okay, either way, Viter. Lema Kitanai. Let's say this is a Machlokes Tanaim, right, this whole discussion of whether, if you own the fruit, you also own the land as well. Minayin Lekot, because the Brisa says like this. Minayin Lekot, Soda Me'aviv. Let's give a little bit of background over here. There are two types of fields. We already mentioned there's something called a steachuza, which is the field, your ancestral field that was given down by your grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather when they gave out the land in Eretz Yisrael. That's something that would go back by Yovel. And there's something else called a steh mikna, which is basically a field that you bought. People buy and sell fields all the time. That doesn't go back, right? Meaning that does go back, but not to you, right? That goes back to whoever you bought it from. If you're, let's say you're Makdish, if you give that field to the Beis HaMikdash, so what happens? So, Bayis De'achuzah, when Yovel hits, the owner is entitled to redeem it from Hekdash by an ancestral plot, right? The guy who had the, you know, who has the ancestry. But if he doesn't want to, then it goes to Hekdash. By a Stei Mikne, right, if he's Makdish it, if he gives it to the Beis HaMikdash, since the guy who's Makdish it, right, doesn't actually own the field, it's going to revert back to the original owner, so then that automatically reverts back to the original owner by Yovel, right, even regardless of whether, you know, someone redeems it or whatever it is. Okay, so with that background, let's go by there. So, Minayin Lokech Sodeh Me'aviv Ekdisha V'Akarkach Meis Aviv. The case is a little bit convoluted. Guy buys a field from his father, okay, fine, whatever. So the kid has a field. Vegdisha. Then he's makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And then Rakakach Meisaviv. Then his father dies. I.e. And then now the kid, right, is the one who is going to inherit this field. But when it was, right, so when it was makdish it, it was a stay mikne. It was bought. It wasn't inherited. It wasn't an ancestral plot. It was bought and it was going to revert back to his father. Now it just happens to be that he's the guy who it's going to revert back to. So what do we do with it? So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, "Minayin shetei lefan of kasdei achuzah." How do you know that it has to be? It's considered as if it's an estei achuzah, i.e., that he has to go and redeem it from Hekdash. Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says, "Im es stei miknaso shelom estei achuzah." So, right? What does that mean? That what is that doing? Is that soda sheino ruyo lio estei achuzah? That's something that is not a field that is not able to be estei achuzah. Is not true, meaning that only a field that is not shayach, right, to be a steachuza when it was makdish, when it was given to Beis HaMikdash, right, is considered included in this halakha. Yatzazu, meaning which excludes, right, Rishiruya Leo Steachuza, right, excluding any field that could have been his ancestral plot, i.e. like this case, right, because he bought a field that could have been his steachuza because if the father died, and sure enough it did. And so therefore, right, that the Rabbi Shimon, right, that teaches me that we treat it like a Shtei Achuza, and therefore he has to redeem it from Hekdesh. Rabbi Meir Omer, no. Rabbi Meir switches it a little bit. How do you know if someone buys a field from his father, and then the father dies, and then it's Hekdesh? Meaning that's the opposite. Right, now the Hekdesh, right, the fact that when the field goes to Hekdesh, is after the father died, meaning the kid already inherited the field, and therefore he's just makdish his steachuza. Right, so minayin shtei lefanam kedei steachuza. How do you know they treat that as a steachuza? Right, tamalomar, the pasuk says im es shtei magnaso. Right, ashelo misteachuza so. Right, now you might be asking, well, that's a normal case of being makdish his steachuza. Right, what happened? The guy's father died, he inherited the field, and it was makdish. Well, that's a regular case of being makdish his steachuza. What do you need a pasuk for? Okay, fine, we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, but steshe'eno steachuza, yatsuzushi steachuza, right? Again, only something that is not actually a steachuza, not something that could be a steachuza, but also only something that is actually a steachuza, is going to be shaykh to this halacha. So the Gemara says, v'ilu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Now again, this is why, what we're trying to do. We're trying to say that this is, I'm a focus tanaim, whether you own the peros means that you own the actual field. Maybe that's the machlokas over here, right? Again, because we said lemeka tanai, right? Maybe this is a machlokas tanai. Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So read the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, meis avu vakachach hekdisha. Right? If the guy died, right? If the father passed away and then he was makdishit, right? That's as we pointed out, that's a regular case of, you know, being makdish your steachuza, the inherited field that you got. So let's look across. You don't need a pasuk for that, right? That's a regular case. My love, welcome. Isn't this the machlokas? The Remeir Savar. Kinyan peros kina guftami, right? The Remeir holds that if you have a kinyan peros, if you buy the field for its fruit, i.e., or a field that's going to go back to someone else, right? And you own the entire field, and therefore ubaha b'mitzav dulo yoris v'lo midi. Therefore, when the son purchased the field, right, and when he bought the field, the father died, and then he was makdishit. So when the father died, the status of the field didn't change. Right? The kid still owned the field because he owned the produce. Again, he bought it when the father was still alive. Bought it from his father. He owned the peros. That means he owned the actual field itself because that's how Rabbi Meir is holding. And therefore, when the father died, he also owned the field itself. Yeah? So nothing changed. Right? So that lechora, you might have thought that is considered to be because nothing changed. He still had the same type of ownership in the field. So it was when he bought it, it was a stay mikna because he had bought it. And therefore, right now, he has the same type of ownership in it. So you might have thought that it's a stay mikna. Therefore, you need to tell me, the puzzle needs to tell me that we treat it not as a stay mikna, but as a stay achuza. Rabbi Shimon says, no. If you own the peros, you don't own the field. And therefore, when the father dies, now he's inheriting it. Now it's changing, right, from a stei mikne to a stei achuza. Therefore, meis avi v'achkach hekdisha, if the father dies and then he's makdishit, let's look at it. You don't have positive to tell me that because we know that it's already become your ancestral plot, is your ancestral field, right? It already. After the father died, you only need a positive to teach me like dishavakach meis for the meis of it, right? If only for the case where you were makdish the field and then the father dies, who the istrich, that's to tell me because when you were makdish it was only a stay mikna, so that must be our machlokas. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, nah, that's not our machlokas. Olam em lechol be alma kasav Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon kinyan peres kinyan aguftami. No, they could also hold, but if you own the fruit, you also own the field. And over here, right, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Kra, Ashkechu, Vedoresh. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the machlokes is simply how you darshan out, right, the psukim. Right, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon have an extra pasuk. Teach me this extra case that will treat the scenario where the guy bought the field, was ma'itashit, and the father died, then the father died, will treat that as a stei achuza as well. So the lichta v'achmana, because the pasuk should have said, im es stei mikneso, asher lo achuza. My mistei achuza. So why does it say, So they learn that extra pasuk, right? That extra drasha that seems to say that a field that could have been a stei achuza is treated like a stei achuza. Okay. That was a bit convoluted. Let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Am Rav Yosef. Ilav dam Rav Yochanan. Kinyan peres aguf. Kinyan peres. Kinyan aguf dami. Lo matzah yodav ragal uveisam edish. If Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Yosef says that Rabbi Yochanan had to hold that kinyan peres, if a guy owns the fruit of the field, it's as if he owns the actual field, because he has another shita elsewhere which demands that he holds this. Right? We saw this before in the Breira sugyas. Right? Again, whether the Yish Breira or Lav Breira. Right? Breira is, do we say retroactively that whatever happened was how it originally was divided? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Achan Shachalku, let's say you have five brothers, right? They inherit their father's possessions. So either we could say Breira, that when they each take a portion of his, you know, say he had five fields. So when they each take a field, we could either say Breira retroactively, that's the portion they were supposed to get. Or if we don't say Breira, which Rabbi Yochanan holds, then we don't know which portions they were supposed to get. And it's as if they're buying fields from each other, because we don't know, right? What are the odds, right? We don't know that you ended up with the field you were supposed to get. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Hakan Shachalku Lukuko saying. That if brothers divide up, right, let's say five brothers divide up their father's portions, their father's estate, so they're as if they bought it from each other. And therefore, it's not real nafkamina, but the halacha, right, machzir and zabiovel, theoretically, right, that goes back to the original, whoever got the original portions by yovel. And what that really means practically is they just have to redivide it again. Yovel time. And now here's the point that Rav Yosef is trying to make. If you tell me that owning the produce is not considered actually owning the field, so nobody would bring Bikurim unless they were an only child. Because if you're telling me that, if you have more than one kid, so they're splitting, right, their father's stuff, right, and they never had an actual kinyan, right? If you tell me they're just lakukos, they're just buying it from each other, they don't actually have the actual rights in the land, and it goes back, right, so then they would never bring bikurim, right? But since Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you own the peros, which is basically what these guys own the peros and has to go back, right, to the original, whichever brother got the field in the first place, even though they don't know who it is. As Rabbi Yochanan says that since they own the fruit and therefore they own the field, right, therefore anybody can bring Bikurim, and you don't have to have just one son who inherited his one father. Okay. Amar Rav, Rav says, Kro Masnisa Mishela the Reish Lakish. I got two proofs for Reish Lakish, a Pazuk, right, and a Mishnah. Kro, first the Pazuk, but Mispar Shnei Tzvos Yim Karloch. Right, the public says when you're selling land for Yovel, right, you're going to buy it according to, right, the Shnei Tvuos, the years of Tvuah, the years of produce, I'm going to sell it to you. Meaning that apparently we see that what are you doing? You're selling the produce. You're not selling the actual land. Okay, you could probably argue against that, but okay. Either Masnisa and Abraisa, right, the time is willing to Abraisa, Bechor Notopi Shnaim, Basada Choseres, the Aviv, Be Yovel, the firstborn. Right, as we know, when you inherit it, let's say there are four brothers, so really there are five portions, right? And the Bechor takes two, right? And everybody else, yeah, does that work out? Yeah. So I'm bad with math. So the Bechor takes two portions. So in a field that goes back to their father by Yovel, right, the Bechor is going to take two portions. Now, how does this do anything? The only thing that is divided between the father and between the kids of a father is something that the father actually owns. So if we say, right, that, again, by a Sde Choser La'aviv B'Yovel, that's a field that was sold by his father. It goes back to the father Yovel's, right? So Bechor, he sold the field for the produce. So Bechor, right, is going to take, right, a double portion of that. Right? Now he only gets, right, what's it called? The rule is that anything that's coming back to the father after he dies, right, that they don't get that. Right, meaning any money he's getting back, right? That's not that's the Bechor doesn't get both of that. So when the Brisa says that the Bechor gets both, right? Clearly the father owned, right, the field, Right, so what we're saying is that, again, this is Reish Lakish Shita, that when he sent, when the father sold the field and it was going to get it back by Yovel, he didn't sell the entire field itself, he just sold the produce, and then really the father owned the land at the time, and therefore the Bechor is going to take Pishnaim, he's going to get a double portion in that field, even though it was sold to someone else for Peros, right? Because clearly, right, if you own the field, Peros, you don't own the field because the father retained the field. Amar Abai, Abai says, Natinan Bal Benech. That we said before, that another similar example of this case is that a husband's nixei malug, right, the ability to get his wife's produce from her field that she brings into the marriage. So apparently we see that if there's anything going on with that field, tzarech harsha, he needs permission for her to kind of do so, whatever it is with the field itself. So i.e., apparently what do you see? That has nothing to do with, right, he doesn't actually own the actual land. He only owns the peros. If there's something going on with the field, right, he needs her permission, right, to do anything. And that's only if whatever is going on, some sort of, I don't know, lawsuit or something, whatever, or selling or buying or whatever. So that's only if it doesn't have to do with the fruit, with the produce, right? Because then that the husband is entitled to. Well, if it's on both, so that since the you know, what's going on is shaykh to the fruit, so the husband can get involved, even though you know, it's the fruit and the land, but that already he has some sort of shaykhus to. Okay, hadra lacha shaleach. Right, and now we go on to the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin. Now, if you notice, the first word of the parak is hanizakin. That's not nizikin, that's nizakin. That means people who are damaged. Now, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Right, this is not Bavgama, this is Gittin. And Tosus asks that question right now. Right, if you look at top Tosus on Mechasim and Beis, right, ain inyan nizikin, it's all Gittin. What in the world? This is Maseches Gittin. What do you? What it was? This whole parak is about damages. What's going on over here? You'll see at the end of this Mishnah, we have a bunch of things that were enacted because of Tikkun Olam. So too, we're going on, right? That's what we've had in the last couple of topics over here. This Tikkun Olam, that Tikkun Olam, this. So that we're kind of branching out, right, and talking about other things that were Tikkun Olam. Okay, and Tosus points out that this is not the only place where you have some weird switch of get and nizikin. Fascinating. Get pashut, right? Apparently you have get pashut in, right? If you have the paragraph of get pashut in Bava Basra, right, is not here, right? So if you look over there, right, he points out that that's found in Bava Basra because of the shtaros aspect. Okay, right, again, that's, so you do have almost like you should have switched this paragraph and that paragraph, but regardless, that's what we have in our Masechta. So hanizakin, shaman lebeidus. So let's give a 2-second background. Obviously, if I punch you in the face and I damage you, so I owe you money. Basically, and obviously in many other scenarios where someone can owe someone else money, back in the day it was very common to pay debts, right? Now people didn't necessarily have, you know, bank accounts or large amounts of cash lying around. Very often they would pay debts with property, with fields. And basically there are three types of fields that you can, not types, but three levels of fields which you can pay back for. There's best, middle, and worst. And those three words, it's important to get those down because we're going to mention them a lot in this parak. Idis is the best, Beinonis is the middle, right? And Ziburis is the worst. Okay? And that is relative to a person's possessions. That doesn't mean when I can compare me to, I don't know, Donald Trump. Right, that means you can, whoever is collecting the money, right, or as we'll see in a second, right, who's paying the money, that's relative to their possession. So if I have three fields, I have a best, middle, and worst. And again, just to clarify, that's in terms of value, right? Again, different fields have different values. One field could make a lot of produce. Another field could be rocky and doesn't really have much value. Whatever. Again, so however you evaluate, I don't know how you evaluate the value of fields, but there's a good field, there's a great field, and then there's a lousy field, right? There's three levels, A, B, and C. So let's dive in right now. Hanizakin shaman lan beidis. If anybody's damaged, so we pay. We'll see who the guy has to pay from idis, from his best stuff. Balchov, someone who's owed money, right, any type of debt. So that is Beinonis. That's the middle field. That's the middle value field. Ksubas Isha, when you're paying out a Ksuba, so Biziburis, that's the least. We'll talk about that tomorrow, why exactly that is. Meir Omer Af Ksubas Isha Beinonis. Okay, Rav Meir says Ksubas Isha is paid for the middle. Ein Nifran Nichsi Minichasin Mishubadim. You cannot collect, the guy cannot collect from property that has a lien on it, i.e., let's say, I sell you my field, right? And I just say, oh, by the way, I owe money to Shlaimele, and if I can't pay Shlaimele, right, this field is leaned, I-L-I-E-N, to him. Right? So obviously there's going to be some sort of discount on the sale. But it's possibly that Shlaimele could come to you and collect the field because I can't pay him. So, but Shlaimele can't come to you and collect that field if I still have property. I mean, you can't just go and collect the field from someone else, even though the field has a lien, right? If the guy you're trying to collect money from has, you know, four fields and just doesn't want to give me one, right? That's not how it works. Okay, so that's seemingly obvious, but again, we'll have to deal with each line of this Mishnah. Okay, even if they are lousy, right? Even if the fields that the guy owns that don't have a lien on them, right? The actual, if I have a bunch of lousy fields and the one that I sold to you is a good field, you can't just go get the good field, right? You have to take the lousy field. I guess we should just clarify, and just in terms of if you're getting payment from a good field, middle field, bad field, right, let's just set before we go right there. Set up the example. Let's say I owe, you know, let's say I owe $100,000, and someone comes to collect $100,000 from me. So I can pay from my best field, from my middle field, or from my worst field. Right? And from my best field, let's say that might be 20 acres. From my middle field, that might be 50 acres. From my worst field, that might be 100 acres. But it's not like I'm paying more money, right? I'm only paying whatever I owe, right? I'm only paying the $100,000, right? That just plays out differently depending on which field I give him, right? Okay, just to clarify. So, you only collect from Yisomim. If a person would have to, in certain scenarios, you can collect from people who inherit stuff, so from their parents or from their father, whatever it is. So you only collect from Ziboris from the least. You cannot collect from property that is leaned, right, something that has a lien on it. For any of those cases, I've talked about all those cases just very quickly. Lachilas Peres Shvachker Kos is a little bit of a weird case. If someone steals a field and sells it, and then the original owner comes and says, "Hey, you can't steal my field." If Shimon comes and sells Reuven's field to Levi, and all of a sudden Reuven's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" So again, there's certain scenarios where Levi can get some money over here, depending on whether there's some sort of if the produce was eaten or the field was improved. Okay, that's the first two. Mosanisha v'Abanos is the third one. Simply is if you have to pay for, right, the food or the property, the food and the parnasa of the wife or kids. Right, so the guy goes to Medina Sayam and Basin comes to collect fields or whatever it is to feed, right, his wife and his children, his daughters, so that you can't collect from leaned property. Because of Tikkun Olam. Hamotze Metzia, if a person finds a lost object, Lo Yishava, he should not be able to swear. That's if the guy says, Rashi explains, if the guy says, "You didn't only find one lost object, I lost two," right? A guy finds a watch. Says, "I lost two watches. Swear to me that you don't have the other one." So that's not a thing. You can't make that shvua, even though theoretically, modu b'miktzas, if you admit that you only owe half, right, the chora that requires shvua. So we don't do that in Pinei Tikkun Olam because of Tikkun Olam as well. And the Gemara assumes, right, immediately, Pinei Tikkun Olam, deraisehi. The Gemara assumes that all of these things in the Mishnah are because of Tikkun Olam. The Gemara just wonders, what do you mean? That just the first case, that someone damages, pays from the idis, from the best field, that's midaraisa. Dichtiv pasuk says, "Meitav sadeo, meitav karmo, yishalem." You got to pay from the best. So Rabbi says, "Let's yuchay le Rabbi Shmuel." No, we need this for this mission of Rabbi Shmuel, Damar, because Rabbi Shmuel says, "Midaraisa bin nizak shayminan." That midaraisa, if someone damages them, we pay based on the nizak, the guy's, the damagee, the guy who got damaged, we evaluate based on his fields, meaning, which could use numbers over here because it's easier. If I punch you in the face, yeah, and I have fields that are worth, yeah, that are quality 1, 2, and 3, and you have fields that are quality 3, 4, and 5. So my worst field is the same quality as your best field. So if we evaluate based on your fields, as I have to pay your best field, which is my worst field. But if we evaluate based on my fields, right, from the damager's field, so then I have to pay my best field, which is obviously much more than your worst field, than your best field. So Rabbi Shmuel says, midaraisa from the Torah, but then nizek sheminan. We go based on the guy who got damaged. If I punch you in the face, we go based on your fields. Kamash Malan. Therefore, we say that, therefore, this Mishnah teaches me, Tikkun Olam, because of, that's Din D'oraisa. But because of Tikkun Olam, because we don't want people going around just punching people in the face and damaging them, and oh, look at that, I only have to pay for my worst field. Tikkun Olam, Shaminan, but the Mazik, we evaluate it based on the Mazik, and therefore the damager has to pay from his best field. My Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel Shita at the time? Again, we just quoted it, we didn't actually say what it was. Right, the price says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmel Yishalem. Right, that's the pasuk we quoted, you have to pay from the best. Meitav Sadeh, Shal Nizak, Meitav Karmel, Shal Nizak, to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, you have to pay it based on the valuation of the best field of the guy who got damaged. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Lo Ba Kosev, right, El Lagabas Nanizikin Min Eidis. Right, no, the pasuk only says that you have to collect from the best, Vakava Chomer the Hekdesh, and certainly in a case of Hekdesh. Now, Rabbi Kiva's Shita is a little bit weird, not so understood. We're going to stop here, because Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara is going to originally understand Rabbi Shmuel's Shita one way, it's going to change his mind, right? But either way, that's a good intro into the Perek. Right, we'll go right to the Hayel Geshas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.